Well, good morning. How is everybody this morning? I'm a nervous wreck, can you tell? I'm like that little duck swimming on the pond, paddling underneath and trying to hold it together on top. So here at Real Life Chapel, a couple times a year we do our story, our God story, and how God has impacted our lives and transformed us. And a couple months back, Pastor Frank asked me to... Okay. I'm feeding back a little bit. Pastor Frank asked me to share my testimony. And boy, I tell you, if that ain't a journey. Has anybody ever looked back on their life and connected their God dots? Just preparing this has been something that's really been incredible for me anyway. So I want to start out by reading from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15. I have a couple passages that have kind of impact how this goes, and I'm nervous, ain't I? Wow. Goodness. I'm trying not to babble all over myself, so please bear with me. No, I'm fine. Thank you. So Deuteronomy chapter 15, or chapter 30, verses 15 to 20 says this. Now listen, today I'm going to give you a choice between life and death, between prosperity and disaster. For I command you this day to love the Lord your God and to keep his commandments, decrees, and regulations by walking in his ways. If you do this, you will live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you and the land you're about to occupy. But if in your heart you turn away and you refuse to listen, and if you are drawn away to serve and worship other gods, then I warn you that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long. You will not live a long, good life in the land you are crossing the Jordan to occupy. Today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth. He says, I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice that you're making. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. You make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and committing yourself firmly to him. This is the key to your life. And if you love and obey the Lord, you will live long in the land the Lord swore to give to your ancestors. So there's two things while preparing to give my testimony. What was important to me was to make sure that my testimony is backed by the Bible. Because if it's not, why am I here? Right? If I can't say, hey, this is what God has done in my life, I certainly need to match it up biblically. Two things I want to point out with the reading I just gave. Number one is that in verse 15, God gives you the ability for free will. He gives you the choice. He gives you a choice. And he allows you to choose between life and death, between prosperity and destruction. And in verses 17 and 18, God warns and says, hey, if you don't choose wisely, like the old Coke commercial, right? Choose wisely. You're bound for destruction. Or in some translations, it may say curse, right? So I had to research what a curse was, right? Because, you know, as soon as I think about it, it's the voodoo hex thing. So I was like, well, was God really cursing me? And I researched it, and there is two different things. It's God's punishment for you disobeying God. But I found another passage in Romans. And in Romans chapter 1, verses 24 and on, God makes the statement. Paul writes that God abandoned them to do whatever their shameful hearts desired. So the other thing that I found out is sometimes what we do, God just leaves us to ourselves. He doesn't strike us down and punish us. He just turns us over to ourselves. And that's kind of what God did for me. He didn't strike me down. He just left me to myself. And that is, it's kind of crazy when you think about it, that God would just leave you to yourself and let you self-destruct. So in that, I found this circle of destruction, and I'll get in that a little bit later. And that circle of destruction, self-destruction, played out throughout my life for a very long time. Most of all, what I want to talk to about this morning is a transformation. So I'm going to hit a little bit of my past to kind of set up things to really put it in perspective for you. So in Deuteronomy verses 17 and 18, it talks about false idols. The biggest false idol that I had to deal with was my own feelings. And that manifested in two polar opposites, right? It manifested in anger because, well, we'll just go for that right now. And then it manifested into material things. So if I was feeling good or needed to feel good, I would buy something. If I was feeling bad, I would get angry. And anger would control a lot of my life for a lot of years. I was taught anger by example for a very long time. My father's parents dealt with anger issues. My father dealt with anger issues. My grandfather on my mother's side dealt with anger issues. So it would be inevitable that I would be angry. That's just the way it is. I was taught that when I'm sad, don't be sad because sadness is a weakness. Be angry. I was taught when your feelings get hurt, don't give in to that. Be angry about it. And when somebody hurts your feelings, hurt them back. I'm sorry. What I was not taught, though, was not to sin in my anger. See, God says, be slow to anger. He didn't say, don't be angry. He said, be slow to anger and not to sin in your anger. And I wasn't taught that. So I learned at a very early age to either subdue the feelings that would make me angry or to subdue anger altogether. And the fastest and easiest way to do that is alcohol and drugs. So alcohol and drugs would play a role in my life where it would distort the reality that I was living in because, well, I was controlled by my feelings. Material things. So I grew up in the high lower middle class financially. We didn't need for anything. My parents weren't rich. We lived paycheck to paycheck. They made just enough money to stay off most social programs, you know what I mean? They didn't bring in a whole ton of money. God provided everything that we needed, and then some of the things we wanted. In my case, some of the things I wanted were name brand type stuff, right? Well, parents couldn't afford that, so it would look like, you know, the off-brand stuff. So even though I didn't need anything, you know, walking in this world, I saw people with a lot of stuff, so I wanted it. And because I wanted it, it made me feel good to have it. So if that makes any sense to anybody, I hope it does. So most of you know, I spent some time in the military. Matter of fact, I'm still serving in the National Guard. I went away for 4 years and served in the Army, and it was those two scenarios that I would take with me, my anger and my need for things. I turned into Good Time Charlie. Anybody know a Good Time Charlie? You know what I'm talking about? They walk into the room there to party, wherever they go. They're the ones that make people feel good. They'll shell out the money to make people feel good. They'll buy them things because it makes them feel good, to make other people feel good. And then you throw the anger thing in there, right? So when the good times were over, it was time to get mad. So if I wasn't partying and those good times were done, I was looking for a fight. It's kind of crazy, right? Get angry, go to the bar. I would choose the biggest person in the bar and start a fight with them. General purpose, it's crazy, right? So 4 years, you know, later, I would come back home and I would still bring that mentality with me. Matter of fact, when I met my wife, she fell in love with Good Time Charlie. And she really did. You know what I mean? There's a lot of things other than that that she fell in love with me for. But we met and I would bring all that baggage of anger and stuff into my marriage. And then the circle of destruction would begin to play out in our marriage. And it started with little things. So when I met Michelle, she already had two kids, wonderful kids. They played football. Matter of fact, we met on a football field. And one of our favorite things to do, well, one of my favorite things to do, was play video games with the kids, and we would play Madden football. Anybody play Madden football? And, well, it did two things for them. They could see the plays that we were playing on the video game and play it out on the field, so it was pretty cool for them. Until, you know, Dave got his feelings hurt because a 9-year-old was beating him out of video game, right? So what did that turn into, right? That turned into angry Dave coming out. And we had a little mark on the side of one of the houses we had where I threw the remote and I broke it, right? So the circle of destruction is like this, right? I break that. I get mad over losing a video game to a 9-year-old and smash the remote because the video game wasn't doing what I was telling it to. And then I'd feel bad. So I'd go out there and I'd buy him a new remote. I'd buy him another video game. Or I would subdue my reality with drugs and alcohol. That would lead to me spending money that we didn't have. We lived paycheck to paycheck at that time. Of course, when you spend money you don't have on things that aren't necessary, it caused fights with my wife. Well, if you wouldn't have got mad, you wouldn't have broke that, and you wouldn't have had to feel bad in order to buy that remote. And we could have paid the car insurance that month. Circle of destruction. I'd feel bad again. See, I relied on my feelings as a source. When Dave was happy, things in the house went well. When Dave was mad and angry, man, people just eggshells tap danced around me. It's ridiculous. My feelings were turning into poor choices. My choices would lead to our needs not being met. Needs not being met would lead into uncontrollable circumstances. Those uncontrollable circumstances would lead to back into me feeling bad. Circle of destruction. Can you see it? Just played out time and time again on multiple levels. This would eventually lead into bigger issues that married people would face. Home stability. We moved 5 times in 4 years. Every 6 months we were moving out of a house. 5 times in 4 years. Imagine what those arguments were like. Job stability. I had 4 jobs in 4 years. And I was completely, almost, well, I wasn't completely unemployed. I didn't have full-time work for 2 years. Finances. Wow. Whew. Between the two of us, we accumulated over 138 different creditors. That's in collections. That's not rolling bills. That's not your rent. That's not your electric. That's not the car insurance. That's 138 different creditors, ranging from $5 to over $21,000. Decisions on kids and how to raise kids, right? What was moral for them? What was not moral for them? But I wasn't consistent because I relied on my feelings as a source, right? So one day, something's perfectly fine for them to do. The very next day, you know, I got a bug up my butt. Now all of a sudden it's different. So the worse it got, the more the substituting reality became normal. And the more I substituted that reality, the more the circle of destruction would happen. The more good time Charlie would appear, the more my relationships would be affected by those circles of destruction. And the more those circles of destruction would overlap. But there's hope, right? God's good. In 2009, we would come to Real Life Chapel by divine appointment. I was doing a lot of side work in sound, and a buddy of mine asked me to run sound for him and his band throughout a lot of the gigs that they're doing. And guess where their first gig was? Right here. And it so happened to be about the second, I think it was. Was it the first Sunday? The first Sunday that Real Life Chapel would meet here. It was kind of neat because when I came in at the door, the pastor and his son were playing Def Leppard on a stage. And when, you know, I grew up a little bit in a church, you know, was forced to go when I was a kid. And, you know, you don't play rock and roll in church. So it was, you know, that right away, the warm welcoming, the real life that was coming out of the people here, it overwhelmed us. And literally, we've been coming back ever since. But I can tell you, things didn't get better. We started coming to church. I started coming to church because it made me feel good. That's how I lived my life, right? It's all about Dave and what made Dave feel good. But I was still Good Time Charlie on Friday night. I was still Good Time Charlie on Saturday night for a while. And I was like, man, I can't show up to church drunk or hungover. So I'll stop Saturday night. But I ain't giving up my Friday night yet. I'm not ready. I'm not done sinning yet. You see, we just incorporated Sunday right into our regular schedule. But God would work on us. And Good Time Charlie would still appear. Circle of destructions would still happen. God would curse us in certain ways and bless us in others. But the difference is we had a conviction to do something about it. We had a conviction to be better. We could feel the Holy Spirit working in our lives. We could sense that we needed to change things. So we began aligning our thoughts and feelings with God. That's a tough thing. It really is. It's hard to do that, especially when you've been trained your entire life that my feelings is the only thing that matter. It would take years for me to control my anger. It would take even longer for us to recover financially from the circle of destruction that I would create. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says this, "Then if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and they pray and they seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and I will forgive them of their sins and restore their land." Turn from their wicked ways, right? That's easy. Especially when you're not done sinning yet. That's real easy, isn't it? Because I still like good time, Charlie. I still like doing all the and having a good time and feeling good. But that's kind of funny. Turn from your wicked ways. That means you got to do something about it. That means you got to address the sin in your life. And if you're not addressing the sin in your life, like Jesus came to address our sins for us, then what are you here for? You're here just to feel good. And feeling good leads to the circle of destruction. If it's not from the source, not from God. So after my commitment to Christ, I began addressing my anger. One of the hardest things I ever did, I was so angry, filled with rage, shaking, trembling, wanting to burst out in a physical freaking rage like I've done time and time before. But this time the Holy Spirit would get a hold of me and I'm just shaking and I don't, like, it was the hardest thing I've ever had to do. I'm not going to get into the situation that caused that, but I can tell you that choosing not to sin is not easy, but God will bless you for it. I wasn't always successful. It's not like Jesus came and saved me and then all of a sudden I was completely successful in everything I tried to do. I'd still get angry and I'd still fail and I'd still sin in that anger. But it would get better. Financially, we addressed our financial sins, right? The first thing we did was create a budget. We didn't know that such things existed. Like, oh, you're supposed to pay for the things that you get and actually manage that somehow. and one of the first things that we did, which is kind of crazy because what do they say? The last thing that gets saved is your pocket. So one of the first things we began to do was to tithe. And that was pretty cool. But at first it was because we felt good, right? Ooh, I can put $20 in there. And then it got to the point where we were playing the holy one-arm bandit, right? I got the extra $40. Let's see what God will give to me today. Right? How you think that worked out? Yeah, well, it didn't work out for us either. But what I can tell you is that we played the other side of that. We gave to God when it hurt. Tell a mother of two kids on Sunday that we got to give 10%, knowing that Wednesday we're running out of food. Two young boys who eat you out of house and home, you can tell them, hey, this cereal has got to last until Friday. Tuesday morning, oh, we ate all that yesterday for breakfast. You know what I mean? But there's a I don't know who coined this phrase, but there's something that we've learned that God is faithful when you're faithful to Him. Specifically in that week, we call it the magic mailbox. When you give to it hurts, and you don't know how God's going to provide for you, but you trust that He's going to. And get this, this is ridiculous. We overpaid a bill. Never happens. Like 3 months ago, we had overpaid one of our bills, and on Wednesday of that week, we got a check in the mail for $130. Unexpected. So we began to realize that God is faithful in His Word. But it's tough. It's tough. It's not easy. There's nothing easy about it. But I can tell you that when you're faithful with God, God's faithful with you. Tithing has been one of the best stresses ever in our marriage. It's ridiculous. So God began to bless us a little bit at a time. In 2009, when we made the decision to come back to Christ, we were living in our current home. Broken, full of rage, anger, didn't know what to do. In Ezekiel chapter 37, it talks about dry bones. Everybody familiar with that? How God, you're so dry that there's nothing on you. You're so dry and living in the world that you just have nothing to do with it. He's talking about a skeleton, right? And dry bones. It's being dead for so long that there's no moisture in it. There's no muscle on it. There's no skin. There's nothing. It's just a dry corpse, and that's what we were. And we learned that God would begin to put muscles back onto our bones, and He would clothe us in flesh and begin to breathe life back into us. He would rebuild us. And it's kind of crazy. Anybody know what the number 8 represents in biblical terms? Everybody got 6 and 7 down, right? Right? Anybody know what 8 is? The number 8 is associated with renewal. So 8 years later, He would return us to that home. See, when we first lived there, we were renting, and we had a rent-to-own contract on it, right? Anything that we paid over our rent, like we were going to pay anything over it, but anything we paid over our rent would go to the down payment for the house because, I mean, obviously we had 138 creditors. Who's going to give us a loan, right? But we ended up shelling out over $2,000 in the course of those 2 years we lived there. And, you know, unforeseen circumstances, uncontrollable circumstances would happen, right? Dave's circle of destruction, and we would move out of that house. But that would be the house that we chose to turn back to God. That'd be the house that we chose to seek His face and pray and turn from our wicked ways. And 8 years later, after I addressed my sin, we addressed our financial sin, God would put us back into that house. The house was on the market for 2 days. Michelle's like, I want it. It's the only place we ever called home. We bounced around so much, it's the only place we ever considered home. He restored to us the land. See, when we bought it, that when we did the rent-to-own contract, we were going to pay $360,000 for that house. Probably not worth that. Back during the whole, the boom, real estate boom. 8 years later, like you can't make this up. You really can't. We paid just over $165,000 for that house. We had $2,000 invested in it prior to God saved us over $200,000 on a home that he would bless us with. If you read your Bible at all, you know tenfold is in there quite a bit. Can't make that up. In this very house, after we moved back in, he would test my anger again to see if I really have matured. To test me, to see if I would sin in my anger. Again, I'm not going to get into that situation because, I'm just not going to, matter-of-factly. but this time, as angry as I was, I responded out of love. I responded in a way that would just be like, hey man, like, I know you're hurting, but why are you doing this? Truly amazing. Especially 8 years before that, I'd have flipped my lid. It'd have been bad. Really would have. I can't tell you how many different ways God has blessed us. I really can't. This is just two examples, two of the biggest things that affected me. I want to read this other passage. It's in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. It's in your programs if you want to follow on. It says, since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits at the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of the earth, for you died to this life, and your real life is hidden in Christ and God. And when Christ, who is your real life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. So put to death all the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires. Don't be greedy. That one hit home. For a greedy person is an idler, worshiping the things of the world. Because of these things, the anger of God, or the curse of God, in some translation, is coming. You used to do these things, but when your life was still a part of the world. But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you'd learn to know who your Creator, as you would. Whoo! My tongue got in front of my eye teeth. I couldn't see what I was saying. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. Everything that keeps coming to me is God your source? Is God your source, or something else your source? Because when God's your source, a house is a resource. A job is a resource. But when He's your source, man, like, none of that stuff matters because you know He's going to take care of it. In summary, I challenge you to connect the dots in your life. In the Bible, it talks about stacking stones when God did a miraculous thing in an area. People would stack stones, and they would, every time they walked by it, it would remind them what God did for them. So I challenge you to connect the God dots in your life and stack stones so that you remember. Choose God as your source. Align your thoughts and feelings with God's.